Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on Thursday, January 30th, 2014. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Lots of things to talk about today. Gold down a little bit, markets up. Hey, it's a happy, happy world. Or is it really a happy, happy world? But we'll be talking about those issues right after Wendy Wilson will be joining us for the first segment of the program. But first, let's go ahead and talk about the markets today in gold and silver. Yeah, gold down $25 today at $12.43.80. You have silver down 54 cents at $19.27. Platinum got, wasn't quite as bad as silver, down $29 at $13.90. And we have palladium down almost 1%, down 7 at $711. The USDX today was trading higher, of course, 0.54 at 81.08. Crude oil was also a little bit higher, 0.58 at 97.94. And the paper markets today, they came back from their highs. They were up 150 for the day, closing out at 109, 15.848, which to me, if they couldn't keep their high on the day, doesn't I wouldn't think it would tend to look very good for tomorrow. The NASDAQ was up 71 points, 1.75% at 41.23. The S&P was up 20 points at 17.94. And I saw the 10-year yield today was over 70 for most of the day. It looks like it's settling out at 0.02 to the upside at 2.69%. And, of course, the big news was the GDP report we'll be talking about and how that last quarter of last year was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But first, we have Wendy Wilson. Hi, Al.
Hi, Melody.
I wasn't going to forget you.
Oh, you might.
Of course not.
You might. You never know.
Mad.
You get older, these things happen.
Excuse me?
I say you get older, and these things happen.
Well, yes, you tell me about that all the time.
I understand.
Yes, you tell me that's what happens.
I'm covering my own backside right now, just in case time comes and I'm saying I'm here with my co-host,
Ruby.
Ruby. Ruby. So just in case that happens, I'm trying to, create a little plausible deniability here.
All righty. Well, we have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon, Al, from Apothecary Herbs. And I
hello,
do believe...
Hello, Al. Hello, Melody. Or should I say the godfather of Ruby. Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Godmother is, I'm not the godfather. I haven't even seen Ruby except in a photograph, but Melody is the godmother, Ruby's godmother.
All right.
So how you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing okay. I'm trying to stay warm with this winter Arctic blast, but hey, it's supposed to warm up to 50. Ooh, a heat wave. My polka-dotted bikini is ready to wear. But we're going to be talking about some health issues today.
Well, what you had a couple that you wanted to that you'd mentioned in that you'd like to talk about, and I'm scrolling through my paperwork right now to get back to them. One of the things you wanted to talk about were medical codes.
Yeah.
And you specifically referenced ICDs.
Right. Do you know what those are? Have you seen those?
I have no idea. I don't know what an ICD is.
Okay,
so let's talk about medical codes and what are ICDs.
And what that means to your health is these ICD codes are really diagnosis codes. So most of us are probably unaware of them. We've left the doctor's office and the doctor has circled a code, and that's to let the girls in billing know how to proceed in billing your insurance. The other set of codes that you'll see on medical bills are called CPT codes, which are procedure codes and what the doctor actually did for the diagnosis he gave you. So the ICD codes, right now they've been operating with what are called ICD-9 codes, and the 9 is a reference to the publication of codes. And what these are really international classification of disease codes, and they've become the brainchild of the United Nations and the World Health Organization. So these codes are kind of standard tools that they use to apply even a statistical value, not just to your diagnosis, but also to the value of human life. So we're told the codes are, you know, for health management and clinical and billing purposes. And this may be true, Al and Melody. However, with the push for the one-payer global healthcare system, these codes are also going to help determine if patients, or if you're reading the Affordable Care Act, if units are worth saving. So the codes look like, you know, those innocent product item inventory numbers, but they're actually taking your personal health assessment and establishing a value to it. Bet you didn't know that.
No, I didn't have any idea, and it doesn't surprise me in the least. I hadn't heard of anything like that before, but on the other hand, it's exactly what I would expect from the powers that be.
Did either of you see the movie I, Robot with Will Smith?
I saw it, but I don't remember.
A long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. But do you remember in the beginning of the movie, he's in a car accident and the car goes into the water, and there's also a little girl that's involved in the accident. And a robot who's there to serve humanity, he only has time to save one of them. So he saves Will Smith, and the girl perishes because Will Smith had a higher life value to society. So do you see the precursor to all this?
Sure do.
Okay, so
sure do.
According to the World Health Organization, these ICD codes classify your disease and a wide range of findings, included but not limited to your symptoms, abnormal findings, social circumstances, external causes, etc. So the codes will map genetics, and the mapping can be very specific, and the codes can have as many as 6 characters. So the codes are going to track morbidity and mortality rates, and they're also going to track reimbursements paid to doctors and hospitals. But it gets even more detailed. They're also going to promote automated healthcare decisions with these codes. So the statistics are going to be gathered globally, and they're going to be used to compare disease worldwide. So the ICD codes classification is a statistic-based, and it classifies health disorders and other diagnostic assistance. So your World Health Organization and the UN, they're up to producing a new version of these codes. The statistical health manual that they have been working on since 1992 is called ICD-10. And that's going to guide and instruct physicians on diagnoses and procedures. So the ICD-9 code publication was supposed to be replaced October 1st, 2013, but the Department of Health and Human Services has extended it because the Affordable Care Act is such a mess, okay? So they got another year on the ICD-9 codes. And so here's the thing, though. ICD 9 codes that manual has, Al, Melanie, 1,700 codes. But the ICD-10 manual has 155,000 codes. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I believe it, but I'm just very, I'll be very interested to see how the doctor is able to recall which of the 155,000 codes he's going to use.
Well, I'm going to
who is going to remember which code, which of those 100, which or several of which of those 150,000 codes apply to me, for example?
Well, I'm going to get to that. I am not done uncovering this. Now, the World Health Organization is currently working on a new version called ICD-11, but that publication is designed for internet workspaces and is a collaborative authorization tool platform that'll be active in 2015 in 41 languages. So they're working on that. And just to give you a heads up on a little history, all this started back in 1893, Al, Melody. 1893 by a French physician by the name of Jacques Berleton, and he compiled what was called the Berleton Classification of Causes of Death. And this was primarily for doctors to distinguish differences in disease. But by 1898, the American Public Health Association recommended that the United States, Mexico, and Canada adopt this concept, so it went from a European regional publication to an international one, and it was retitled International Classification of Causes of Death and was published in 1900. And then they said every 10 years we need a new version. So in 1910, the International Statistical Classification of Disease was published, and by 1948, the WHO took it over. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, on top of everything else, if you're going to walk in and you have a particular medical problem, and you're going to go in and they're going to give you a code, it's more cost effective to fix your problem or fix somebody else's problem. That's part of the but one of the implications, I suspect, when you go in, the computer will not only know about what your current disease is, they'll not only know about your age and the probability that you're going to live another 5 years, 10 years, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to know when the last time you were there to visit the doctor.
Oh yeah, they're going to know.
And the time before that. And point then is that when you go in, it will be contrary to your interest to go to the doctor very much. Because if you happen to make 3, 4, 5 trips a year to see the doctor, it'll indicate that you have a medical problem, that you are medically vulnerable, that you're likely to expire in the near future, and therefore there's no point in wasting money on you.
Yeah, like
it will inhibit people. If that's true, smart people will only go to the doctor if they absolutely, positively have to do so in order to save their lives.
I know, because those codes are going to, like, push up your expiration date, right?
I understand.
Well, you know, let me tell you this. You were asking about all these codes and how the doctors are going to know and all this. Well, according to IngeniousMed.com, U.S. doctors have to use the ICD-10 codes by October 2014 if they want to be paid by insurance companies or the government. Now, there's about 25 countries using the ICD-10 right now, and it's a tool that medical officers and doctors use for all insurance providers, and basically there's no exceptions if you want reimbursement. So these codes affect decision-making and analytical systems. So the Department of Health and Human Services is going to rely on the system of codes to determine if surgery or other medical interventions are warranted. So the new code system requires doctors and hospitals to upgrade their IT system, okay, which is of a significant expense for small medical practices. So the healthcare professionals and the patients are going to be told that the additional 138,000 codes are going to make the system more efficient and make documentation easier. And what the system will do is going to weed out the health professionals that are non-compliant. It's going to blacklist them from the insurance providers. And the system's also, Al, Melanie, going to increase audits for the healthcare practices. And these are going to be paperless audits because this new IT system and these new codes, there's a backdoor for access for the system, and where government can do an audit and access and monitor accounts. And, of course, they'll tell you to watch for insurance fraud. But this is all going to be a reporting system on patients and physicians.
You know, I think it's, I can understand that it'll be a reporting system and that's disturbing, but this is ultimately an accounting system to figure out who is going to get medical care. And what concerns me is that we can sit back and say, well, we're going to use that with Obamacare. Mm-hmm. It's already being used with Obamacare from what you've said, and it absolutely has to be that way. I mean, Obamacare is going to use these codes. This is going to be an accounting network, and we can say, and we can be concerned, a lot of people are, that younger people will get medical care and older people will not, because it'll be calculated that senior citizens aren't going to live that much longer, point one, and point two, they're not going to make that much more of an economic contribution, or that much more of a contribution to the economy, and therefore they will become useless eaters, regardless of how much they may have produced during their you know, their primary working years.
Well, just
what I'm concerned about, about is if we're going to compare all these codes,
right,
not only to the rich, the poor, the young, and the old in this country, but ultimately we're going to include the codes on the people in China and Africa and South America and so on. I'm wondering if this isn't grounds for moving medical care to where it's all controlled by a central authority, not even a national authority, and whether or not you get medical care, the cost of, who knows, repairing your eye, a damaged eye, costs $15,000 or $20,000 or $50,000 or whatever. That decision will determine and be determined in part not only by your needs, but also by the needs of someone living in China or Africa or some other place. And you understand what that means. It means you're going to get robbed. There won't be any health care for people coming from first world nations.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. And, you know, you probably heard that interview by that neurosurgeon who a year or so ago, coming back from a conference, they were told about the Affordable Care Act panels who are going to assess and determine whether somebody gets brain surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've heard about these death panels. Well, see, and these aren't going to be doctors and surgeons making these decisions in the middle of the night.
Computers.
It's going to be the computer and the codes helping them make those decisions, see? So that's what I'm saying. This is a statistical-based coded system, not only to determine health diagnoses and treatment, but also to establish a life value. So, yeah, so if you're not, you know, up to snuff in the society of values, then apparently they'll be saying, I'm sorry, treatment's denied.
You see, this goes a lot further than that. Once they start placing a value, once they under the pretext of providing health care, they place a value on your life and my life and Melody's, and then they can decide who is going to get treated which way or whatever, who's going to get care and who's not going to get care. They're setting up a foundation, not just for medical care. Ultimately, they're going to be setting up a basis for deciding who gets to eat and who doesn't get to eat, who gets clothing and who gets adequate shelter and who gets stuck in a mud hut and who winds up having fairly, you know, luxurious quarters.
Right.
And the idea that someone else can make that decision for you, me, Melody, anyone in the audience right now, based on some sort of a computer program, and without regard to what we say, think, or do, I mean, this is disturbing.
Well, this is like, you know, going to replace, I think, your Affordable Care Act or your Global One Healthcare Network's going to replace all your ID codes. I mean, as far as your Social Security, driver's license, bank account.
We're going to have to talk about this.
Yeah,
we're going to have to talk about this another time because we're out of time.
All right.
Give folks a quick contact information, and we'll get into this more perhaps the next time you're on the program next Thursday. Go ahead.
Okay. They can contact us at Apothecary Herbs. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com. Ask for a free product catalog. Got to go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye-bye.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what's next, Melody?
We have Mint State 61, $20 gold piece. I'll just bump Mint State 62, $20 gold pieces. Mint State 62, $20 gold pieces, Liberty or Saints, $1,450. And that includes free shipping, and that includes a free Silver Eagle, $1,450. Give us a call. One day only, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We had an interesting call yesterday. Somebody had a friend that purchased some gold from a dealer in California. And, you know, after several weeks, months, he hasn't received his product as yet. So I did a little investigation on my own and got to a, there was a big old complaint website about this guy who know, he used to be a very big online dealer. And I know, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, people would say this person's name, all, you know, and it's just like, give me a break. There's no way this industry, I mean, every wholesaler in this country would say, I don't know how he's selling them at those low prices. And now he's, you know, quite a few customers and dollars behind the ball game. And, of course, everyone calls it a Ponzi scheme. He's using the new money in order to pay for the old product. And but what's funny is these complaints, if anybody ever cares to do a little bit of investigation, you could, you know, if you're buying online, you can put the guy's name in there and, you know, complaints were popping up. Yeah. A couple of years ago, but yet people are just blind. I guess they think it's not going to happen to them. And if they're still online doing business, that they must be okay. And, of course, it isn't okay. And so, you know, just like a lot of these other online sellers of gold and silver, I see the product they sell. You can see the complaints. Oh, the product wasn't that nice. Oh, so I'm going to go buy from there and get some bad product myself. I mean, the signs, you know, it's just like our economy and what's happening to this country with our liberties and our rights being just flushed. This is right there in front of you if you care to see. I mean, we talk about what's going on in this country, about our economy and the bogus, the lies, the reports, like the GDP. Everybody is, Wall Street was cheering because the GDP was up 3.3% in the last quarter. Or were they really cheering because football teams were on opening up the New York Stock Exchange today? This morning they had John Elway from the Denver, and then I guess the closing bell was the guy from the Seahawks. So what was it all about today? So, God,
it,
you know.
What it's about is showbiz.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. You know, here's what it's about, and at least in part. The American people prefer to be entertained rather than educated. And when we talk about, you run into someone who's a hustler or a con artist and he's selling coins and he's ripping people off. There's evidence on the internet to expose that if you care to do your due diligence. And how hard is it to find that information, Melody?
Not very hard.
You know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like,
I know, but people don't want to make that effort. They don't want to make that effort. They don't want to take the time and the trouble and make the effort to be educated.
Because they'd rather save a dollar. They
don't
want to save.
Hey, the guy, maybe he sings a song into the telephone while he's talking to him. They say, oh, he sounds just like Frank Sinatra. I'm going to buy from him.
And I'll tell you what, this guy, he filed bankruptcy. Was it early 90s? I think it was early 90s that I saw. And because he liked to live the big lifestyle. Mm-hmm. What? And it says, oh, he changed. Really? You really think people change?
No.
No, they don't. You know, and there's another guy.
Another bankruptcy, then, that's what it comes down to.
Yes.
If the last one he filed was in the 1990s, he can surely file another one. And just rip people off, and maybe gets to keep his swimming pool if he plays it smart. He may get to I don't know what just, you know. The reality, this is part of life, and that's the reality of it. There are people in the world who would like to hustle you out of your dollars and take them in a way that's fraudulent, deceptive, deceitful, dishonest, and they're out there. And if you have dollars to spend, folks, there are people that are going to try to rip you off, just as there are politicians trying to rip you off. And we elect them time after time to the White House, to the Congress, to the Senate. You know, you have to recognize that a lot of people just don't seem to understand or care that they are surrounded by hustlers and con artists. And if you are one of the people who do care, then it's incumbent on you. You're going to have to educate yourself. You're going to have to do it, and you're going to have to be prudent, and you're going to have to be wise. And it may be that the result is that you're not going to be the most fun guy or girl at the party. But you're the one that's going to have something to eat one of these days when the partiers can't even afford, you know, a bottle of beer. We are headed for difficult times, in my opinion. And if I'm correct about that, it is incumbent on all of us to tighten up, get ready, buckle up, all right? There's going to be a moment when it's not going to be fun. And we are not even going to anticipate fun for some time into the future. And for those people who have dedicated their lives to entertainment rather than education, it's going to be an extraordinarily difficult time. It's going to be painful. You know, I saw something today where Justin Bieber, all right, a young musician, singer, whatever.
Idiot.
Got the kids all, ooh, Justin. He got crosswise, and they've sent petitions now, over 103,000 signatures on a petition to the White House to deport Justin because he's not a good influence, to deport him to Canada. I don't understand what's even going on here. I'm going to make you bet there's going to be another petition, probably started up already, that's going to have 500,000 or 5 million signatures going to the White House saying, no, keep Justin here. He's a national treasure. And all this kid does is sing songs, get into a little trouble. You know, what has happened? What's happened? Why do we even care about what someone sings? It shouldn't be about deporting Justin Bieber. It might be about deporting the president, right? When people get serious and they say, wait a second, I don't think that guy in the White House belongs there. I think he was born in a foreign country. All right, now we got a petition going, got over 100,000, a million, 20 million signatures on it. I would say, hey, all right, now we got something. We're worried about Justin Bieber. For me, it's just as evidence of a complete... our system of values screwed in the wrong way. All right? I don't know if I said screwed or skewed, but I meant to say skewed.
Doesn't
but
matter.
Either word probably fits under the circumstance, in the context of the sentence. Somewhere along the line, we're going to get into some difficult times, and when we do, it's the people that are serious about educating themselves and preparing, they're the ones that are going to do best. They're going to have the highest probability of getting through those difficult times with the least amount of discomfort and perhaps even surviving those difficult times where a bunch of other people who are saying, oh my gosh, Justin Bieber, those people aren't going to stand a chance. What else we got, Melody?
It's just... It just frustrates me as a gold dealer because we work, me and my staff, we work hard. We do everything right by the book. We give people great prices, great quality products, great shipping. We do this day in and day out. We've been doing it for years. And then people decide to most of our clients and listeners and ones that know and listen to alternative media, they're really concerned about their privacy. I get calls every day, and yet they let someone online save them a dollar, and they just plaster all their information on the internet to save a dollar. I just don't get it. I don't understand. It gets frustrating because we do put all, my prices are just as competitive as any of those guys online. They don't put any of their money back into support of other educational programs. And you know what, Al? Sometimes I get tired of paying for education because people really don't seem to want it.
All they want it. I mean, it's just, but the numbers are, it's a small percentage of the American people that are interested in education. And they're the ones that are going to do well. I saw a report recently where they're anticipating that the next wave of automation, and they're not talking 20, 50 years into the future, they're talking about a wave of automation that's starting now, is going to eliminate 40% of the jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Now, these are the people who are perhaps fascinated by Justin Bieber, but they had better find something to interest them besides the people who are singing or the people who are selling crack or whatever. What's going to happen when 40% of the jobs are gone? And it's not just in this country. What about China? I mean, the jobs that will be replaced will be primarily industrial jobs, more so than anything else. China's going to have a terrible time. 40% of their workers in China are going to wind up being, if they keep them on, they won't be able to compete in the world. If they dump them, what are they going to do with 40%? What's the Chinese population? Something like, I know it's over a billion, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't remember what the population. 40%, we're talking at least 400 million people. We're talking about, there's a good chance that this new wave of automation will unemploy a segment of China that's whose population is larger than that of the entire United States. Now what? And we're going to see the same pressures here, and I'm just telling you, folks, what it comes down to is there are pressures mounting from different directions that are going to be extraordinarily difficult for people to deal with. And there isn't going to be an escape from these pressures other than your own ability to think and reason and do what is right at the time. You know, we talk about the business, buy low and sell high. Fundamental investment strategy. You buy when prices are low, you sell when prices are high. But when prices are low, nobody wants the product. Nobody else wants it. And the vast majority of people, therefore, will not buy because the vast majority of people have a herd mentality. And they're going to do what everyone else does because everyone else is doing it. And it isn't about reason. It's about looking at your neighbors and saying, well, if he's doing it, then I can do it. But when you buy low and sell high, that means you buy low. That's when nobody wants the product. You sell high when everyone wants the product. If you want to prosper, you can't run with the herd. It's the people in the herd. It's the people that can't think for themselves. They're the ones who are going to sell low and buy high. And they're going to go broke. And who is going to feed them? Where is their money going to come from? How are they going to support themselves? We're coming into a time when you are not going to have the opportunity to play the fool. You're going to have to be serious. You're going to have to be smart. You're going to have to be hard working. You're going to have to be disciplined. You're going to have to be alert. You'll have to be knowledgeable. And that means you're actually going to have to read some books. You can't just sit there and watch the latest movie on the YouTube, you know? So, I'm just saying, we're coming to difficult times. I don't say they're happening this year or next year. I don't know when they're going to get there. But I don't think anyone can look at it and doubt we're going to be there in the next several years, and we could be there as early as the next few months. People better prepare, better get ready.
And the only thing that came out of Washington is you had Obama today. He ordered a soup to nuts review of federal workers' training initiatives and pledged to copy the most successful ones, emphasizing themes from his speech the other night. He cast improved job training as central to his efforts to make it easier for people to move up into and stay in the middle class. So today at a General Electric engine factory near Milwaukee, he signed a presidential memo.
Ooh, a memo.
A memo.
Is that more or less important than an executive order?
Look at this. Biden, he wanted Biden to lead the review and to work with cities and businesses and labor leaders to better match training to employer needs. Not all today's good jobs need a four-year degree, but the ones that don't need a college degree do need some specialized training. Specialized training, the right skills. Training, not always a four. Well, it sounds like they're getting ready for the mass immigration because all those guys coming in will need training, won't they? So they're getting ready. They're getting ready to train them.
Yeah.
Just another.
They'll be training people with a whip. It'll be like training lions and tigers in the zoo. Put on a show for the audience at the Circus Maximus. And that's perhaps where we're headed. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody? Got a choice?
Do you want me to tell you? Oh, yes, we do have a choice. We have Harvey from Florida.
All right, let's talk to Harvey. Harvey, what you got for us?
Hey, Al. Hey, Melody. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I was just listening to you talking about Obama's visit to the engine factory. You think they're making engines for the drones there?
Hard to say. Might be making engines for the drones or maybe for the vehicles that Homeland Security is going to use to haul us from our homes to wherever the FEMA camps are.
Actually, I think that goes to the state of Oregon because I saw today Oregon is opening up a testing site for drones. So,
yeah, so that's probably the up-and-coming business for Americans so they can make the engines for the drones, or maybe next time they'll go to NSA and he'll show you the wonderful opportunities in spying on your neighbors and your friends and your relatives.
It's a growth industry. We know that, Harvey. But what is going to happen, Harvey? I mean, how far do you think... How much do you think they can pressure the American people? Are we going to be just good little Germans, in the end, be just as foolish as the German people were during the Nazi era? Or are they just put up with things? And they pretended not to notice or didn't notice. I don't know what happened. Is that going to happen here? Or are we a different kind of people with the internet and all? Are we going to be able to resist this thing better? What do you think, Harvey?
I think it's exactly the same. It's the same mentality because it's the incremental. As long as they do it incrementally, it seems like the people don't even notice.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I had a conversation with the stranger yesterday. I was trying to wake him up about what happened on 9/11. This guy was so delusional. He was so irrational and so delusional. The more evidence I gave him, the more he started saying that I should be put away for being a terrorist because I dared speak freely in this country.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's on one hand, it's a peculiar anecdote, but on another hand, it may be insightful in that it kind of offers a perspective on who your neighbors might be in this country right now. I mean, there's a dangerous strain going on that's hard to believe, that that kind of attitude would ever have existed in the United States of America. And yet we see evidence of it. And again, it parallels what you're talking about. You're talking about people who don't want to be educated, which is what we talked about a little bit in the previous segment of the program. They want to be entertained, but they don't want to be educated. And some of them will resist it, even with violence. Don't you dare educate me. Don't you tell me the truth. I'll shoot you if you tell me the truth. You understand what I'm saying, Harvey?
Well, you know, while it's... It used to be if someone said something that, you know, we didn't agree with, we'd say, oh, that's silly, ha-ha, and we move on, and, we just moved on. Now there comes something attached, like a hatred.
Yeah.
It's just not in, you know, politics, and so it's like in everything. It's like if you disagree or you don't like something, you're hated for it, or if you disagree. So hatred has become part of how we react anymore.
Well, it's because a lot of us grab hold of ideas and we hold on to them as if they were a religion. We grab hold of ideas that are conducive to our political party. Maybe we're Republicans, maybe we're Democrats. We are going to cling to our party line. And it doesn't matter what's right or wrong. We're just going to cling to the party line. And some of that is because we are foolish and we're ignorant. And some of it is because the mass of information is so great that it's extremely difficult to keep track of what's going on right now. Some people retreat from the mass of information that's assaulting them every day by grabbing on to things that are fairly simplistic, like I'm a conservative, or I'm a liberal, or I'm a progressive, or whatever. And we grab hold of a label and we cling to it, you know, like a log or a straw in a whirlpool.
Yep.
I won't say that it's bad in and of itself. I mean, you can explain it, you can understand it. It's a little bit like people who take too much alcohol or take too much drugs. To some degree, we are also self-medicating with the ideas that we grab hold of. We say, I'm going to believe this. I'm going to believe it. And if anybody gets in my way, I'll kill them. We can get that kind of attitude, and it's a certain amount of self-medication. Rather, because we just can't reason our way through the information, it's too much for us. Do you think that's reasonable, Harvey?
It's not the information so much as the disinformation. Once you realize that almost every single thing that you're told has been a lie, then you actually have to do something about it. It's a lot of fear involved. You remember about, 18 years ago when they first started putting up the cameras everywhere, people wouldn't believe you if you told them that's going to be the future spy grid. They would think you were out of your mind. Couldn't happen here. Then I remember when I had my radio show during the first invasion of the actual war with Iraq, and the people were cheering and laughing as the bombs burst over Baghdad, and the mothers and the children and the grandfathers were running and hiding for their lives and being blown to bits by the Americans. And the people were sitting in the bars drinking and laughing, thinking that it. And I try to tell them. I used to go on the air and tell them, don't you know that every single thing that they're doing to those people, they're going to do to you? They're just getting you to accept this. Everybody thinks it's not going to happen to them, just like they did in Nazi Germany, just like your ass, Al. Besides, it won't happen to them. And then before you know it, you know, there's that famous saying, first they came for the communists, I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists, I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, but I was a Protestant. But then they came for me, and there was nobody left to speak out. And that's really what we're seeing. And luckily, we do have your program and a few other programs where we can speak out, try to reach people to tell them, wake up before it's too late. And it is our responsibility, the people that are in the know that have any courage, it is our responsibility to speak out. What do you think, Al?
I agree it's our responsibility to speak out, but what is the solution going to be, Harvey? If we really are approaching times as difficult as seems probable to me and to you, what are we going to do about it? When, at what point in time do we decide to cut and run? Do we move to Argentina? Get down to the southern hemisphere? Do we lock and load and fight in the streets? Do we get deeper involved in politics? Kind of hold our nose and get into the political fray and work with the Republicans and the Democrats and do what you can to seize control of their parties? What's the solution to the problems we're seeing? Or do we just take care of ourselves? Get yourself your food, get your guns, get your gold, get your silver, hunker down, and just get ready. Fine, I got mine, and to heck with the rest of you.
When you saw a great American like Ron Paul actually get nowhere with all his years in Congress, he wasn't able to accomplish anything. And his son.
Well, he did a lot. I mean, he didn't accomplish things on a legislative basis per se, but he set an extraordinary example. He inspired a lot of people. He laid the foundation, in my opinion, for what became the Tea Party. All right, which, you know, is that may have been compromised now and the rest of that sort of thing, but still he's had as much effect as one man could probably hope to have. And if he hasn't had as much effect as we like, is it because he didn't do a good enough job? Or is it because we didn't do a good enough job? Grab hold and support and work to see that what he wanted to do actually got done. I mean, who's responsible here?
I think the media actually knocked him down. I remember when he was running for president, the signs were abundant in his favor. Where I went all over the state of Florida, I had the opportunity to travel the state, and he was well-loved and well-respected, but the media is so powerful, the general media out. It is really unbelievable. But maybe we could tip the scales. Maybe in time we can tip the scales, and we could turn this thing around. But all we have to is the truth on our side.
I think inevitably we will tip the scales. I think inevitably we will turn situation around because we're dealing with a bunch of liars, and sooner or later the truth has to come out. You can't keep running the lies and running the lies and running the lies without having the whole system finally blow up in your face. But that's the point. There's a silver lining in this cloud, but we may have to go through hell on earth before we get to that silver lining. And the idea behind programs like this one is to try to get people to wake up a little bit and say, listen, maybe we could stop them now. Maybe we could do something now in order to prevent what might be a very painful turnaround. You know, you can turn around easier, you can turn around hard. What do you think?
Well, you know, the other night was a prime example when Obama had his State of the Union address. And one of the things, didn't watch it, but I heard about, and it was probably one of the most sickening things I've ever heard of, where they brought up a crippled soldier who had been in Afghanistan 10 times, and he got a roaring ovation from the crowd instead of, I mean, could you imagine that whole invasion of Afghanistan, which is still going on? We still have tens of thousands of mercenaries working for us there. We have tens of thousands of military people working there with training their army how to kill their own people better, which is our specialty, how we teach these armies all around the world how to slaughter their own people. Just like in Egypt right now, they're using the tanks that we sent them to slaughter their own people, the bombs. So that's, and then you see, every word that he said was a lie, and the people just sat there clapping. And yeah, this poor soldier, this ignorant soldier that was sent to Afghanistan, still believes in that BS when we're there for nothing other than for the profit for a few great families and capitalists. It's unbelievable, Al. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I understand.
So we have to educate the public. That's our job.
That's our job.
You have to educate
the
public, and you even have to find the courage to stand up and tell the truth at times. You know, a lot of people know what the truth is, but nobody really wants to say it because they're afraid, gee, I'm be the only one who says, tries to say the truth, and then everybody will laugh at me, and they'll point fingers at me, and they'll ridicule me. and therefore I'd better just keep my mouth shut because nobody else is likely to agree with me. If you stand up, you might find out that the guy standing next to you says, yeah, you're right. And the guy over there, you know, across the room, there's, yeah, that guy's telling the truth. We need to have people stand up in order to give other people courage, make them understand they're not alone, that these ideas are not just some oddity, aberration. This is the truth about how people feel. And when you learn you're not alone, you learn that your ideas are not subject to everyone's, automatically subject to everyone's ridicule, and may even be subject to their support, would say, yeah, wait, hey, that guy, yeah, that guy, he's saying something. Well, then maybe good things can happen. But nothing's going to happen if we remain silent.
Well, yesterday I told you about that incident I had with a stranger. Actually, two of them. One kept his mouth shut, but the one guy, I pretty much figured, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to have the Gestapo show up at my door any minute to drink to know the truth about 9/11 and spreading the word about what really happened in 2001, because that was a very crucial point in America's history. The day,
oh, I agree.
They put a mass psychosis on the public of this country. Not necessarily the world, because most of the world didn't buy it. Maybe for a while they bought it, but most of the world understands what really happened there. I mean, when we know for a fact that in the 80s we created the Mujahideen and we created the resistance in Afghanistan, armed them, trained them. And that's what we've done in every single country that we come across. We're doing it in Africa, in probably 30 countries right now, training them how to kill their own people, supplying them with weapons and uniforms to just spread death. And that's really America's business. And we have to admit it, and we have to turn things around. Well, thank you for your time, Al and Melody. I love you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Harvey.
Thanks very much for your call.
Well, what are we going to do, Melody? How are we going to save this world? Or is it just enough to save ourselves?
I think we have to work on both, and education and just trying to help people through it so they do have an understanding, so they understand they do have a choice.
But you have to recognize
a way.
That if people, for whatever reason, if they're too ignorant, if they're too unintelligible, if they lack the necessary courage, well, then you got to do what you can to protect yourself. All right. It would be nice if the rest of the world agreed, or at least I think it would be nice if they agreed and they said, all right, let's do this. Let's do the right thing. But if they're not going to do it, then we are also pushed. We have to consider
people
the possibility.
People have to also experience difficulty in their lives. They have to be hungry.
Well, we all get a dose of that sooner or later. I mean,
how do you think they were able to, from what I've been told from people who've been there and experienced, who had mothers and fathers in camps, aunts and uncles, was people were hungry and they were promised jobs. Yeah, they had jobs, but they had to go to the camps to get them.
And
they were the fortunate ones. They were the ones that were able to survive. Not everyone survived, but that came at a time when people were hungry and they were looking. And when you're starving, there's a difference.
No, I understand. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Back tomorrow. In the meantime, with the good Lord, let's you be Melody. Frank, the producer.
Bye. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.